Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we're here just for you. Glad you're with us today on New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program.
Struggling with abandonment issues, and I want to know how to move forward from it.
How would I reconcile a betrayal from a friend that was just a really deep wound?
I can always do good for short periods of time.
Yeah.
Like, pick myself right back up.
Michael, I believe you, and I hear that in you, and we see that. But none of us were designed to have to pick ourselves up.
First of all, I'm wondering why it has to be somebody's fault that he died, because terrible things do happen in life.
I think you're going to lose this battle.
I have to let it go, don't I?
Yeah.
Part of what I would do is spend some time preparing my family to say, this is going to be tough, but we need to put it in the context of what would Jesus have us do.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and I know that you're driving down the road by yourself there in that truck, honk for us, or in the car somewhere.
Louder, I can't hear.
Screaming kids, turn us up. Maybe you're at home. Maybe it's at work. God bless you for listening and watching this program. Dr. Dave Stoop, he's the author of many books. My favorite, Forgiving the Unforgiving. Forgiving the Unforgivable. But hey, Forgiving the Unforgiven's not bad. And then Dr. Jill Hubbard. Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hey, Jill, coming up,
Steve.
You've got Women in the Battle.
Women in the Battle.
You are going to be there. No?
I'm not sure about that yet.
Okay.
But that's a possibility. But
you're
I am a big supporter of Women in the Battle, and I'm working on a project around that theme.
Perfect.
So
tell us
and
about
I think it
why
is,
women should go to Women in the Battle.
Well, I think we're finally coming up with a place for women to come and have people understand the huge heartache of betrayal.
Yeah.
And when you're in a relationship and someone is acting out with pornography, sexual addiction, affairs, the whole gamut, it just cuts to the core of a woman and her self-esteem.
Yeah.
And even if intellectually you know it's really not about you, you feel like it is.
Right.
And so women need healing.
Yeah.
And so we finally are creating a place for that.
Sherry Denham is doing the lecturing on that, and we would love to have you there. That's coming right up. And also, Every Man's Battle is September the 9th through the 11th, and the way people go to that is that somebody says, hey, you need to go to that. And
And the way they go to Women in the Battle is they say, I need to go to that.
Yeah. Honey, I...
And
I,
they just don't take no for an answer.
Yeah, so. You just got to do it.
It's called EMB 2.0 is what's happening, and it's just going to be amazing.
Is that one on that tape?
The advanced course?
The advanced course, mm-hmm. 2.0.
Next graduated step.
Refresher.
Yeah.
All right. Great to have you with us today. We've got a new book. Oh, look, it's mine. Walking into
what
Walls.
What a surprise we're talking about.
And this has some great steps in it in moving on with your life. There's a chapter on moving on. And, you know, it starts with something that we just can't do enough of, this moving on chapter, with examining your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of your favorite scriptures is, let us consider the quarry from which we are hewn. What is that verse? I don't
consider
know.
For the rock from which you were cut and the quarry from which you were hewn.
Yeah, there
Isaiah
you go.
51.
It's a great verse.
Yes, it is.
And whether it really applies to that or not, I don't
know.
Well,
it goes on. It says, look to your ancestors. You know,
yeah.
Check it out. Look back.
Mm-hmm. So we examine our past and where we are from. Like if you do an examination, you find out that every one of the men in your family was incarcerated for drunk driving. You might want to take a look at that alcohol thing that you're dealing with there. But we examine our past. We examine the choices that we've made.
And then when Nehemiah was dedicating the walls, you know, in Nehemiah 9, he brings the people together and he said, we're going to confess our sins and the sins of our fathers.
Yeah.
So they had to know what they were to confess them. You know.
Right. We still do that today. People make apologies for their particular group, whatever, how they handled the issues during the Civil War. All of that.
Right.
All right, anyway, that's Walking into Walls. Five walls that we build that you need to get around them or over them or tear them down to experience the life that God has for you. We'll take a break. We'll come back with your phone calls right here today. So glad you're with us. Hope we can comfort you and challenge you at the same time. That's our goal here on New Life.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Let's go to the phones. Bob, Bennington, Vermont, WHAZ. You've held, and we're glad you have. How could we help you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I can hear my voice coming back to me.
Wow. I hear it all the time. Because I talk to myself, Bob. I talk to myself.
Yeah, I do a lot of that. Yeah.
Just so you don't answer yourself. That's what they say.
What's going on?
Well, actually, I've had a story going on with my life since 94. So to sum it up, it would take too long.
Okay. Ask us a question, then.
My question or my issue is self-worth. I'm looking for self-worth.
Where are you looking?
I read the Bible a lot, and mm-hmm. I listen to the radio a lot. I've gotten a lot of help from your program. Mm. A tremendous amount of help from it. Actually, it's been a little bit more than a couple of years, but I was suicidal. I was very suicidal.
You were suicidal?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it didn't work.
Well, yeah. Bob...
I'm
Bob,
not there
glad
anymore.
It didn't work.
Yeah. Bob.
Yes.
The places you've gone for self-worth are helpful, but you can't ever, I don't think you can have self-worth if you're not in relationships with other people.
Oh, yeah. I have one very strong relationship with another church member.
Male or female?
Female.
Okay. What about the men in your life?
We don't have an official men's group at our church. I've been talking about it for at least a couple of years.
Why haven't you just started
it? So how about an unofficial men's group and you ask a couple guys to meet you once a week?
We'll help you start that group. We've got the resources and all the goods to make it easy to start that group.
I know that, and I've suggested it, but that hasn't gone anywhere either.
Okay.
Actually, I'm right on the fence of leaving the church.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay. All right. So, how could we help you today?
I don't really know.
How to find self-worth in a pretty rough, terrible world?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm stuck in a very, very hard place.
All right.
I was arrested. I think it was back in '94. I was accused of a crime that I didn't commit, and I'm still under the thumb of the state. Mm.
What kind of crime was it? What kind of crime?
A sex offense.
Okay. And you really didn't do it?
No. There was no. There was no smoking gun. There was nothing. It shouldn't have even gone to court.
Were you in the wrong place at the wrong time? Were you in a place where that occurs a lot, or?
I guess it occurred a lot. So it was the the game of the week, so to speak. And the girl who accused me was coached by support group, I guess they call it. Mm.
Was it an underage situation?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh dear. Yeah. Okay.
And there wasn't anything physical in there. There wasn't I said, there was no smoking gun, no evidence. It was her word against mine.
All right. Now you went through a really traumatic time, especially if you're innocent there.
Yeah.
And that's got to really hurt your feelings about yourself for a very, very long time.
Oh,
you're going to a church. You're going to a church that isn't satisfying you. They don't have a men's group, and you need a men's group. You need to become a member of a small group in a bigger church.
Yes.
And so that's what I would encourage you to do, is since that church hasn't helped you. Obviously, the preaching isn't helping you come to a better place, and the connection isn't either. So,
well, the preaching is.
The preaching is
good. The okay. lessons are good, but it's shallow.
But, Bob, what it takes for a man who has been through things like you've been through is the support of other men.
Right.
Yep. And that's scary for you, because at some point you have to acknowledge that, and then you fear the rejection. But that would be something I wouldn't acknowledge until I felt safe enough to acknowledge it. But
you really don't have to acknowledge it for a long time.
Yeah.
But until you find that you can trust these people.
And know that
unless
they're not going to run away.
Unless
we had that. We had a very good men's group for a number of years that I went to before all of this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, a lot of people have left
okay,
for
but,
various
but
reasons.
We're talking about today.
Okay, I have an idea. So
today,
Bob,
it's non-existent.
Bob, even though you've been falsely accused, you, in a sense, are suffering the results of what people go through who have a sexual addiction, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're experiencing the fallout as if you did it. And so I'm wondering, if you went to a Sex Addicts Anonymous group where you could go with other people who also experience, okay, how do we, integrate back in socially? How, because a lot of times people who haven't gone through that experience don't know how to embrace it. So I think it might feel good to be around other men who have struggled and want to have friendships and aren't going to be rejecting because of that news or that accusation.
Are you still on probation? Yeah. Are you still on probation?
Yeah.
Well,
I haven't,
do they require you to go to anything like that?
No. No, they tried to make it a requirement quite a few years ago, but we got that taken care of. That was eliminated.
Well, okay, I think Jill is on to something of just choosing to go be with other men who are where you are.
And they have them at churches, too.
Yeah.
I haven't found one at a church in this area.
Okay.
And the only one that is in this area, their first requirement is to admit guilt.
Well, admit guilt, but that doesn't mean admit guilt about this alleged crime.
I mean, you had a relationship with someone that was younger than you or was underage. Would you be able to admit that you had a relationship with someone that was really too young for you?
No, that wasn't it.
No, that wasn't it.
No, this was just a vengeful thing that was done.
Mm.
Oh, so sorry.
So, yeah.
Well, Bob, I think most 12-step groups I'm aware of, you can go and say, I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to figure that out. That you don't have.
Yeah, if they require admitting guilt, that's not an accepting group.
No. Yeah,
I wouldn't want to be in that group.
Sometimes
that's
you can just say your name.
Some of those recovery
I'm Bob.
Groups I heard years ago, where you had to wear a toilet seat around your neck if you're going to be a part of it.
What?
Yeah.
You wore a toilet seat around your neck.
Yeah, that when you came in, that was the initiation in terms of recovery.
Oh my goodness!
But you need to, you may even find it just in a 12-step group at a church base, a generic type of 12-step group, and
right,
because there people are more accepting, more open, and You don't, but I still wouldn't, you know, we're saying, no, you don't go in and say, you know,
yeah,
hey,
I'm guilty. No.
I'm not guilty, okay. But this is what I was accused of. It's like that's something that comes down the road when you feel safe enough, mm-hmm. and that may take a while.
Yeah. Okay,
but
so
somehow you find that you got to find
church,
a group.
Get a recovery group, get in a men's Bible study mm-hmm. or small group. Get in. Those are the directions.
That's where you find.
You need to have the reaction of other men and have that mirroring that helps reflect back to you that I'm an okay person after all.
Men find their self worth from their fathers. If they don't get it from their father, which most of us didn't get, you get it from other men, not from women. And, mm-hmm.
What was your relationship like with Dad, Bob?
It was okay. It wasn't a Leave It to Beaver type relationship, but
what was it like? What was it like?
Shallow. What does okay mean?
Shallow.
Which
is not
what,
okay.
Is what you said about the teaching at that church. So you're hungering for more depth, Bob.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah.
My little library here at home. We'll verify that. I get most of my preaching from the radio and. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here comes a book to you, Walking Into Walls. It talks about disconnected, isolation, and the impact that has on your life. I hope
add this to your library, Bob.
Put that in your library.
After you read it,
yes.
All right. Glad you called. Anybody else struggling with being isolated, distant, feeling lonely, shut off from the world, here's a book for you, Walking Into Walls. Have you noticed that I talk about this book more than the other books I've written?
I think it's when you have a new book. You're excited about it.
No, I think this book has special meaning to him. And
it is. It's the best book I've ever written. I wrote every word of it, and it's the best one I've ever written. And I just hope and pray, you know, if you don't like this book, you won't like
Nihilism. Like you.
No, won't like me. That's right.
I thought some of the ones we did were the best.
Yeah, right.
All right. Let's go to Jennifer from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing all right today. How could we help you today? And thanks for calling us.
You're welcome, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would just like to say I do listen to your broadcast from time to time, so it is a pleasure to be able to speak with you one-on-one.
Thanks.
But what I'm calling for, I was listening to a previous caller by the name of Deborah that called in earlier in the month, August the 2nd.
Yes, I remember Deborah. She was she was a Christian, but she was living with a man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in the course of her conversation, she did ask a rather pointed and direct question.
She did.
Wanted to know if she was to die that night.
Yeah.
Where would she be?
Yes, that's right. She asked that.
You know, I don't want to sound judgmental or anything because actually, you know, the answer that when I was listening to her, I thought, well, that's not a hard question, but it's really sad to find out when you listen to people talk, a whole lot of people do not know.
Okay.
But I was just kind of surprised, you know, I thought when she asked that question, I thought to myself, well, the answer is pretty clear. I mean, if you go to the New Testament in the book of Galatians, where it speaks about the works of the flesh, you know, fornication, adultery is listed there.
Yes.
And, you know, the Word of God lets us know that if we are living that type of lifestyle, even though we are naming the name of Christ, our relationship cannot be as such.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Let me just ask you this question, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that... But Jesus said, you know, if you're angry at someone, that's equivalent to killing them. You know what he says? That? He says, you know, the Old Testament says don't murder. I say don't even be angry.
That is true.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. So now let's just say I'm riding down the road. I have no sexual sin whatsoever in my life.
Okay.
I'm a decent guy. I'm following the Ten Commandments. Got a little anger problem that pops up every now and then, but I always ask for forgiveness. What happens if I'm driving down the road and a guy cuts me off and I have to careen the car over to the side of the shoulder and I'm thinking in my head, I hate that man, and a Mack truck hits me and kills me instantly? Do I go to hell because I had the bad luck of thinking hate, feeling hate, and dying before I had the chance to repent. Do I go to hell?
Okay, I understand your question clearly. And we know that if we hate someone in our heart, the Word of God does tell us that we're the same as a murderer.
Yeah, okay. So did I, as a murderer, just end up in hell because the Mack truck hit me before I could realize I had committed a sin?
Okay, and my answer to your question is the same as my answer to Deborah's question. Yes, I believe you would end up in hell.
So I have to go to hell. I've been this great Christian, but because I have the bad luck of a Mack truck hitting my car at the wrong moment, I've got to go to hell for that when I believe that Jesus died to save me from my sins?
But it's more
That's
than
so
just
horrible.
Believing. I mean, when we believe, our lifestyle has to change. And I'm not
well,
saying
yeah,
that.
But
you
are
know.
You saying that you don't ever sin at all?
No, that's not what I'm
okay,
saying.
Okay, tell
I'm
me one sin that,
I
you
don't
sin.
Ever
what
sin.
Is one of your sins? Just curious.
Gossip, I'll be honest.
So if you were gossiping on your cell phone and got hit by a Mack truck, you'd have to go to hell?
Well,
oh, my goodness. Like, we'll be back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Jennifer. She's a gossiper who's going to hell if she gets hit by a Mack truck while gossiping on her cell phone. Jennifer, okay, so what? Tell us what you're thinking now about what you said.
Okay, now, I've listened to you, and I'm not calling to, like, attack anyone.
I know you're not.
That's why we're trying to figure it out.
That's why we're talking so openly with you and trying to, you know, to...
Okay, so what I am saying, I mean, not by based on my opinion or your opinion or anyone else's, I'm just saying... When it comes down to what the scripture's saying, whether it's being involved in gossip, whether it's getting mad at the person on the road and saying you hate him, but there are different things in our lives. The Bible does say to put away the weight and the sin. So, I mean, we all die daily. We're not perfect. We all have the flesh to contend with, but just what I'm saying is based on what Galatians says. I mean, it lists the works of the flesh. All sin is wrong, you know, there's no sinner that's better than another, but I'm just saying, she asked the pointed question. If I was to die tonight, living in this situation of, you know, living with her boyfriend, would she go to hell? And I believe, and I'm not, you know, just marrying her out.
Right.
I'm just saying any individual, just generalizing.
We get it. And I tried to illustrate how problematic that could be. And but here's the question. What denomination do you go to?
I am Pentecostal, Church of God in Christ.
Okay. All right. So you're sticking with your belief, though, that if you're unlucky,
let me just say
you go to hell.
That's the belief I agree with. That's not my belief based on my own opinion.
Okay.
That's my belief based on the Word of God. So yes,
let's hear from a pastor.
Well, but you're referring to Galatians, and I was just trying to find the specific part.
Been studying Galatians.
Yeah, in the first couple of chapters.
I believe it's in the fifth chapter of Galatians.
But I want to go back to the early chapters, because in the early chapters it says, you know, that if we try to gain God's approval by keeping the rules, then we negate the cross. What was the point of the cross? He actually says that at some point, and I've been trying to locate it. It's a different Bible than mine at home. Here it is, right at the end of chapter 2. You know, for if we could
Are
be
saved, Galatians?
Yeah,
yes.
If we could be saved by keeping the law, and the law would be anything, you know, the rules, then there would be no need for Christ to die. And so my salvation is not based on what I do, it's based on what I believe and what do I accept in terms of Jesus' death. There's a part in the early part of Galatians where he says to the Galatians who were sliding back, you know, from believing to adding the things from the behavioral things from the law, and he's saying, you know, you started with the Spirit, why do you now go to works, you know? And so there's certainly a fear that if we accept that too easily, that we can sin like crazy. And Paul says in Romans 6, should we just keep on sinning so that grace can abound? And then he comes out as emphatically as he could. It's a triple negative in the Greek where he says, absolutely not, because then we don't understand what it costs God. See?
Right.
And Paul says, if I could paint you a picture of the crucifixion and the price that was paid for your salvation, why do you get caught up in this stuff about works? See? And the works, James says, the works are how we show that we believe, but they're not how we believe. Our belief is in the sufficiency of the work of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
I understand what you're saying, but the way that I define works means that there isn't anything that I can do in my own physical power to merit salvation. I mean, salvation comes only.
But then, Jennifer, if that's true, why is not the opposite true? There is nothing that I can do then to negate it because I didn't deserve it in the first place. That's Romans 5. You know, we were his enemy.
Don't you agree that when you come to Christ, I mean, the Bible does say, old things are passed away.
Oh.
Old, all things are come new. You're a new creation. So,
wait a second. When I came to Christ, my teeth were not instantly capped. I still had cavities. I still had vision problems. I still had temptations.
Yes, because
my perspective was all new when I came to Christ. Let me tell you where I think the teaching comes from that you've been taught. I think it comes from human arrogance that we can get good enough to keep our salvation.
That's Romans 7.
And I don't believe we can get good enough to keep our salvation. When Paul says in Romans 7, the very thing I want to do, I don't, and the very thing I don't want to do, I do. That is saying to me, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, imprisoned for his beliefs, he still sinned.
And he was miserable from the battle. See,
let me say this. The teaching that I have received, I hold to, and it doesn't come from human arrogance. I mean, I'm familiar with the seventh chapter of Romans that you were referring to.
How about the eighth chapter, where it says there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus.
Right, and the reason why if we accepted Christ as our Savior and tried to live this life by our own merits, we couldn't do it. It's impossible.
Jennifer,
let me just finish. This is what I'm saying. The work of salvation is totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He is the power in our life. That does not mean that we're not going to be tempted. That doesn't mean that sometimes we're not going to. That's
all right. Well, and when we come back, we'll talk with Jennifer about the condemnation of Deborah.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we've got a couple more minutes here with Jennifer. Jennifer, it says there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I believe that if you're gossiping on your cell phone today and you're hit by a car, because you're in Jesus, you will be in heaven, even though you have that imperfection in your life. And I just hope and pray that someday you will come to that understanding. Yes, Dave?
Let me read the note in the Everyman's Bible on Romans 8:1. This is one of the great affirmations of Scripture. We will never be condemned by God for our sins because Jesus Christ has paid the price once and for all. When we decide to surrender our lives to God, we can be confident that we will not be condemned by Him. If we have accepted God's offer of forgiveness in Christ, there is no condemnation.
Yeah.
That really sums it up.
That really does. Mm-hmm. Really does. All right, let's go to Joseph. He's calling from Oswego, Michigan. Watches us on FamilyNet. Hello there.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. It's from Oswego.
Oswego.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oswego. I'm sorry. sometimes I get a brain cloud.
That's all right.
Yeah. Your vision is cloudy.
Okay. How can we help?
I just kind of feel that I was struggling with my relationship with God.
How's that? Explain it to us.
Well, because I've been through a lot of stuff in my life. I have a hard time either I'm not paying attention, listening close enough on seeking, you know, listening to Him as far as my reading,
mm-hmm.
and understanding, I guess. It's just I have a lot of difficulties. You know, I have retaining the knowledge, and then maybe sometimes I have, like, the lack of paying attention.
Do you think God loves you?
Yes, I do. I mean, I just recently have been baptized as of June 4th.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been attending church for the last 3 years. I mean, I was brought up in a church when I was younger, but it was just, you know, I lost my mom when I was 12 due to from a drunk driver.
Mm.
Wow.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Did you
I mean,
blame
really
God for that?
Yeah, what were your feelings about that?
Did you blame God for that, or did you?
Yeah, I think I was pretty upset because I was 12 years old and I didn't know how to deal with that.
Absolutely, Joseph. And
how old are you now?
35.
You still having trouble dealing with that?
Well, yeah, and I mean, it hurts. I mean,
sure,
hurts a lot to lose your mom. You were just a little boy that needed her still.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it still hurts a lot.
And the fact
I've moved on. I mean, I understand because we're all gonna die. I understand that, you know, and but I mean, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
But Joseph, you were your voice seemed to crack there when you talked about your mom.
Yeah.
And so you're still
some pain,
still grieving that loss, aren't you?
Probably.
Well, and I would imagine, Joseph, that it's hard to move closer to a God that would perhaps allow that to happen, mm-hmm. your mom to be taken. Mm-hmm. Even though intellectually you know people die, things happen, you're an adult now.
Right.
It's still hard as that boy who needed a mom. It's like, why did God take my mom? Or allow my mom to be taken?
It makes sense, the struggle that you're having with understanding God. And
mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering why he's not speaking to me. Because mm-hmm. all I do is want to be able to help other people, you know. I mean, I've almost killed myself.
Mm.
I mean, I've shot myself. I mean, I've been through drugs and alcohol.
Wow.
I mean, I've been sober now from alcohol for 3 years. I've had, you know, drunk drive-ins.
Joseph. I'm going to tell you that I believe God is speaking to you, and he's speaking to you through us.
Yes. And how's that?
Well, I think that God would want you to know that he loves you very much, that he created you uniquely. And you know, the Bible doesn't say that God is going to prevent horrible things from happening or prevent pain, but it does say he will wipe away every tear.
Right.
So that's saying, hey, I'm there for you. I'm there for you. And I really believe that, you know, when your mother died, that he really was sad for you, but knew that someday you would overcome your hurt and your grieving, and you would step into the manhood that God has chosen for you.
Joseph, was there anybody there for you after your mom died?
Yes and no. I mean, like, not mm-hmm. really, though, because I pretty much got to do whatever I wanted. And
so there wasn't anybody that really cared enough to step in? And
I mean, there's people that tried to intervene, but then I would be, you know, I'd be the one that would shut them out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would probably do something that would shut them out and to cause pain to them.
Yeah. Where was your dad in all this, Joseph?
He was busy doing his own thing.
Oh, wow.
All right.
He was busy doing his own thing, and I mean, it's like I've come to terms to forgive him because, I mean, we still talk now, but, I mean, our relationship isn't that close. But
yeah.
Where are you getting your comfort now?
Where am I? I try, you know, from God and from, you know, my church. And I don't even know really if I'm getting comfort that I need because I really have nobody. Like, I live with my mother's parents, and we just lost, you know, we like just lost our great grandmother just here a few months ago.
Joseph, you are so tender and sensitive, and I'm not sensing that in that church you've found something to join other than just go on Sunday.
I attend Seventh Adventist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I love Seventh-day Adventists. They're wonderful people.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're awesome people.
They're awesome, and they care about the whole person. And I just know that if you searched, you would find that there are some groups that you could be part of that would help you in your healing.
Well, and that's one thing. I mean, because like my elder believes that I'm a leader, and I believe that I'm a leader, too, and because all the stuff that I've been through.
But even the leaders need
because
help.
I'm thankful for a lot of stuff. I'm thankful that I'm here, that I did not, because when I got under the influence, I shot myself. I'm glad that, you know, that, and that was
We're glad you're here too, Joseph.
14 years ago, I praise God for the amazing things that He's put and done into my life because, I mean, I've been on alcohol and drugs.
Okay,
and
but Joseph, my life changed. Joseph,
and I've been sober for 3 years.
Joseph, congratulations!
You're doing great things, but you're trying to be strong. And you need a place where you can just be, and you can be weak, you can be vulnerable. You need a group of guys who care and who will stand with you, or you need a grief group that will help
you. Where
you
can cry.
Because you haven't grieved. You haven't
I have a hard time to cry. I have a hard time crying because, I mean, like, that's the most that I've ever cried. I mean, it's a hard time to let it go because, like I'm saying, I'm not around anybody that really cares my grief.
Now, you called us. You called us because you wanted some help, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to give you a prescription of how to be in a better place next year. You go to your church and you find what group you could join, a men's Bible study, a support group, a study group. And if your church doesn't have that, you search for a different church that has it. You don't have to change,
don't change churches.
You can still go on Sunday morning. Saturday morning. But you can. You must find a group to get in. No excuses. You must.
No, that's the thing, because I still, you know, I go to groups now, but I'm not, you know, like, I go to, like, AA, and I do the Celebrate Recovery.
Okay.
Life Recovery.
Then you go, and you connect there in ways that you haven't.
And be vulnerable, Joseph.
Yes.
Talk about
Stop
your
pain.
Stop
trying to be the leader.
Don't be strong. Don't be the leader. Be vulnerable and let some people really care for you and love you. That's how you get to be the leader
is you start with vulnerability and you connect with others and then you lead after that. But you can't just go from where you are to leadership.
Then you're just covering up the wound and it festers, and that's what we hear and the pain is we hear and the vulnerability.
And if you were in your 50s and 60s like us, you would understand that you have so many years ahead of you. At 35, you're just getting started, and you can end up the next 5 years healing, and from the age 40 to 90, end up being that great leader that you want to be. But you're going to have to connect in a different way.
Yeah, Moses didn't start leading until he was 80.
That's true, isn't it?
and even more than that, Colonel Sanders didn't start Kentucky Fried Chicken until I think he was 55.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Look how many chickens have been slaughtered just since 55.
But if you start before you do the healing, then you end up one of those fallen or broken leaders.
Yeah.
You got to do the healing first, then you lead.
No, you don't want to do that. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you Walking into Walls. Do you have a Life Recovery Bible?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you a Every
healing.
Man's Bible, and healing is a choice.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I hope that will help you greatly. We're going to take a break and come back for the final segment here. If you're on the line, let me help you. Our final caller is going to be to Paul in Boston, and if you're on the line, if you call us back in an hour, we'll get you through to the because we're going to do three more programs today. We'll be back.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Just want to remind folks, I'm preaching in Indianapolis at Heartland Church Sunday. Come join us if you're in that area, or join me and everybody else that goes to that church. Let's talk to Paul from Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can we help you today?
How does one deal with or cope with a narcissistic partner?
Well, tell us why you think she's narcissistic.
There's nothing I do that ever pleases her. She's never happy. There's no appreciation. You know, it's just a constant argument from day to day. And, you know, it just gets to a point where she's just plain dissatisfied with everything.
Yeah. How long has that been going on?
It has been going on for probably about 2 years or more, but it's getting, you know, worse as time goes by.
How long have you been married?
7 years.
What happened 2 years ago that caused a change?
2 years ago, well, you know, the economy turns sour, and, you know, the income hasn't been as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So things are, you know, struggling a little.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's your question for us?
How do I cope with that? I mean, at this point, she's asking that I leave the house because there's too much confrontation, there's too much argument. The fact of the matter is, you know, she accuses me of, you know, stuff which I have no idea about. And if I try to explain that it's not so, it becomes, you know, quite an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would happen, Paul, if instead of saying it's not so and disagreeing with her, you explored, you know, what are you seeing me do that makes you feel that or think that?
Not rejecting. Yeah, don't hearing them first.
Yeah, because listening is a lost art, and we mm-hmm. don't know how to do it anymore, and that often will frustrate a spouse when we try to explain, because when we try to explain, what we're doing is denying their reality. And so you don't have to accept their reality, but you become curious about it. How do you get to that point? Tell me what I did that makes you think that, you know,
and we women tend to get some things, not all things, some things backwards, where we think if we tell our dissatisfaction, that somehow that will draw the person closer to us.
Yeah.
And they'll know exactly what we need.
They feel disconnected, so they criticize.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So,
and then we get defensive and explain, and then we're off to the races.
Right, and it doesn't work.
Right.
So I like what you're saying.
I'm not defensive in any way. I adore when she tells me I do something wrong, but in many cases, it's that she is basing facts on assumption. There's no tangibility to it.
Okay, but it's about her feelings, Paul.
Yes,
Paul,
I am agreeing to something that is wrong,
no.
I don't have any idea about.
Okay,
no,
so,
I'm not saying to agree.
We're not
with
saying
it.
To agree. We're saying I want to
explore.
Understand how you see it. And you can even say to someone, well, if that's how you see it, I can see why you would be upset. See, you first have to hear them. You're not agreeing with her. You're trying to get her view.
See, what happens in our relationship when we disagree? Somebody tells us something and we don't agree, then they feel like they've got to make it stronger, a statement
mm-hmm.
stronger, because we didn't listen, we're not hearing them, and so
they get louder,
get
more
louder,
emphatic.
Or they just give up and say, you never listen, you mm-hmm. know, and all that.
So that's the first step, is trying to help the person see you heard them.
Yeah.
Repeat it back to them in a way that says, I understand what you're saying.
Amazing.
I get it.
Amazing. Paul, it would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Your wife would be transformed, I predict, if you could convince her that you are really serious about hearing her heart in something and forget
not
about
being right.
No, forget about being right or agreeing or disagreeing. It's irrelevant. I want to hear your heart.
Missing you, sweetheart?
Let me read a paragraph from Walking Into Walls about the arrogant, entitled person. Mm-hmm. If you're living in a self-centered entitlement and demanding to live your life your way, you may see yourself as the center of your universe, as king or queen of your territory. If you persist in living like self-appointed royalty, others will start to see you that way as well. But this is not the good news you may think it is. To them, you will be your Royal Highness baby, or Sir Brat, the prince. You will be the emperor with no clothes. They see right through you. You want what you want when you want it, and when you don't get it, you are angry. You are always grasping for more than you have and believing you deserve all you can get. That's the arrogantly entitled person that he's living with. And the key, first of all, the best thing that can happen is for you to shut them down a little bit by saying, I understand what you're saying.
Or help me understand.
Help me understand
what they're saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Amazing what that'll do.
I'll send that to you, Walking Into Walls. I think it's going to help you. It would be interesting if we had more time to talk to you about what she would say about you. Because there would be some things that you could do that might bring you closer together. But I'll tell you, when someone's in this entitlement phase of life with no humility whatsoever, no desire to connect through vulnerability, very tough to live with.
And sometimes that comes out of a long-standing frustration.
Right.
Of not being heard.
Yeah.
All right, we've got Every Man's Battle coming up September the 9th through the 11th. You could be one of the four people that join Club New Life today that would get us to our goal of 1,000. That's all it takes is four people a day.
1,000 new people this year.
That's right, which would mean we would have 5,000 Club New Life members. What a great, great gift that is to New Life. It really does help us just exist as a ministry right here. Dave, maybe you could share some scripture with us before we leave, but let me invite you to help us. If you'll support us, we'll send you Walking Into Walls, my new book, Five Blind Spots That Keep God's Work from Occurring in You, or Keeps God Out and Prevents Him from Working in You. That's Walking Into Walls. We have it before the bookstores have it. You can get it right here at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. All of the things we're doing, Lose It for Life, New Life Weekend, Couples Weekend, all of these things are there on our website, the new website, newlife.com, and many, many videos covering the different areas that we cover right here. Dave, some scripture for us as we close.
This isn't related a whole lot to the callers today, but it's something that really struck me as I was going through Galatians. Paul makes this point. This relates to a lot of that we talk about on the program. He says, obviously, I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. He says, no, I am trying to please God. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. That struck me, challenged me, convicted me. You know, you can't be a people pleaser and be Christ's servant, he's saying.
We do displeasing things to God so that we can look good and please others. Yeah. When we need to be displeasing things to people so that we can please God.
Exactly.
That's the exact opposite. Hey, thanks for being with us today. Hope something we've said has encouraged you, challenged you a little bit. If you need us, we've got a bunch of people down there in Dallas, Texas, that are waiting for your phone call. They want to talk to you, and you will not be disappointed when you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Write it down and call it. 1-800-639-5433. Because we have something to make your life better. It could be a new life perspective on a particular topic. It could be a book. It could be a counselor in your area. We have over 900 in the network around the country. And it could be one of our weekends. So just call us. And if you're not calling for help, Be grateful and call to help us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.